So would you take out your notes, please, in your bulletin? Obviously, we are now in the growth group season. And you'll notice on the back of the bulletin, I'd like to just look at the first question. This is kind of the opener. And I want you to think about this, kind of get yourself, in a sense, in the mood. The first question is, it's an icebreaker for our groups to talk about a little bit. I say public speaking, cliff diving, like we would do in the Boundary Waters canoe area. We'd climb up cliffs, and we're a long ways away from civilization, and we're diving off of cliffs. And even though we checked the depth of the water, I just kind of wondered if I might be the person that would hit that lone stalactite. And fortunately, I didn't. You can see I'm here. But all sorts of things. Skiing black runs up at Big Bear. Maybe even doing something. Marilyn and I went just about a little more than a month ago for our anniversary. We parasailed over at Catalina. And really, it doesn't take a whole lot of skill to do that, but it was still, you know, you're up there a long ways and you're hooked into the thing. I suggested we unhook ourselves, but no, not really. But, you know, I started out with that first item, which is public speaking. And, you know, I think if you took a poll of probably most people and you say, what's the one thing you fear the most in life? I think statistically, I've heard that almost the highest thing that most people fear, above things like heights, it is the issue of public speaking. It's people say, I couldn't do what those people are doing up there. As the elders were praying on Friday morning in this room right over here, and we're just kind of going through praying for the concerns of the church. And one of the elders was praying that we as a church, as a people, would understand that it's our responsibility to share Christ with people. And I wrote down in my notes, just even as we were praying, dare to share. Would we dare to share Christ with the people around us? I'd like us to turn in our Bibles this morning to a portion of Scripture that where Jesus lays the charge in front of his disciples. And next week, Pastor Dennis will take this further as we look at Matthew 28. But Acts chapter 1, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1077, page 1077. And I'm going to be reading from that translation in the rack in front of you. The New International Version. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Like just to follow along as I read. This is what Luke writes. In my former book, Theophilus, he's talking about the book of Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Continued to show himself to them, gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you, I'll say it again, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Father, I pray that as we look at these words today, as we consider what they mean, I pray that, Lord, that you would teach us. I pray that you would give us wisdom and courage, understanding. And I pray, Lord, that we would see things with the gaze of our soul as to who you are and what your intentions are for us as individuals and as a church and as families. Lord, work in our hearts in such a way that we will pay attention to you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we went through the book of Ephesians, we talked about what it means to be his church. What it means to be his church. And part of what it means to be his church is to, as a church, know him. And as a church, to trust him. It means that as a church, we are prepared to do his will beyond this point. You've probably heard me say before, I have probably my own little bit of a redneck, a sensitivity to certain kinds of expressions. I don't really like the expression and I've found myself using it, and then I think, gee, I really don't like that expression all that much. It is the expression to refer to Calvary as the church on this corner. Why not? Why don't I like that? Do I want us to be on another corner? Well, not really, but the church, the body of Christ, gathers. And the word church means an assembly. It's there. But when we leave this place, we leave to go do the ministry that God has given us to do. We do that ministry in our homes. We do that ministry where we work. We do that ministry in our schools and in our communities. And we do that ministry where we play, if we understand that we've come together to be equipped to go scatter and do his work. We don't simply pay missionaries to do the work for us or pay pastors to do the work for us. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus spoke to his followers who were to make more followers like themselves. And they were to be commissioned with the same commission, which Pastor Dennis will talk about next week. In the last couple of weeks, we've talked about part of that ministry has been to pray and to devote ourselves to prayer. Specifically, Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, he says, devote yourselves to pray. And he said specifically, pray for me that there would be open doors for the mystery of the gospel to be proclaimed. And as you pray for me that I would have those open doors, pray that I will speak about that mystery of the gospel with tremendous clarity. Pray for yourselves And then he says, then he tells them that we are all to be in this position of sharing Christ, making the most of every opportunity to speak for Jesus. Last week from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter speaks very clearly in the midst of the climate of not just potential, but probable, and it will happen, suffering. They will suffer, not so much with diseases, but suffer with a bad reputation from from their community who doesn't like them speaking about Christ. And so Peter says, so sanctify or set apart Christ as Lord in your heart so that you're always ready. Let him be Lord of your heart day in and day out so you're always ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that's within you. When people ask, why do you have hope? Be ready to tell them why you have hope. And I suggested over the last 2 weeks that we all need to have in our minds, what would be the things that we would want to communicate? If we only had a minute or two, what do you know you would want to communicate to people? What do you know? If I would have done to you today what I did to Olita, where's that microphone? Anybody start to get a little clammy? I said, what verse has stuck in your mind since this last Thursday? Be ready. What do you want to communicate? So last week in this place, I'm thinking, last week I talked about this and I always be ready. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart so you're always ready to tell people why you have hope. And last week I came into, it just so happened, I went and got a cup of coffee and I'm walking around the campus and I went, oh, I just saw the seventh and eighth graders came into this room and now the senior high that we have here, the senior hires, and they all filled up the back couple of rows. It must come with age, you sit toward the back. But I wandered back into that corner back there, and I'm standing there with my cup of coffee, and I'm enjoying singing with the students, and Mr. Pryor's up here leading the music. He's our Bible teacher. It was just a great time. And as we finished singing, and they took their offering, and John says, we're going to do one more song. We sang one more song, and he said, now, it's just a pleasure to introduce Pastor Pluger, are you preaching today? And I said, nope. He said, oh, let me go get the list. And so he went back to his stuff, and he came back up, and he said, he's looking over the date. He goes, Pastor Moeller, guess who wasn't on campus? Yeah, Pastor Moeller likes to be funny like this. But he wasn't here. He was off actually getting the food for the Wednesday night program, and just simply, for one reason or another, didn't get it written down. So our assistant principal said to me, "What? Can you?" And I said, "Sure, you bet." To preach, ready to preach. Let's see, what do I do? I give them last Sunday's message. I could do that. I could do Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. You know what? I'll give them one of my best possible messages. I gave them a funeral message. A bunch of 7th and 8th graders and some new senior high students. Well, I just said before, if you only had a brief little time and you had no time to think about it or prepare, what would you share with somebody? This might be your only encounter with that person, your only encounter, and you only get a minute or two. What would you share? So I shared with the kids. I said, one day, I said, I just did a funeral for one of my really good friends. Everybody at a funeral likes to think that they're all going to go to heaven. Everybody wants to think that, right? And when their loved one dies, they always say, well, he's in a better place. Well, she's in a better place now. I said, do you think that that's always true? How would somebody know that their loved one, or how would they know that they're going to be in a better place one day? And I shared two portions of scripture that are absolutely always, always, always my go-to. Because if I only have one shot with you, I want you to know this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will go on living even if he dies. And then he asked this question, do you believe this? To Martha. Do you believe this? What would you say to Jesus if he said, is that where your hope is? And then I took them to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Now, those are my go-to verses. So, but I want to just ask you once again, even right now, on your notes, would you just write down my go-to verses? I would absolutely want to communicate to somebody. If I only had 1 minute, does that sound reasonable? That you might only have 1 minute, one shot with somebody whose soul is in the balance? If you only had one, so what's your go-to? And then make sure you're walking with God before you share it. The second thing is, for whom have you been praying? And it's one of the questions in your notes on the back page. For whom have you been praying? Have you been praying for me that I'd have an opportunity, that I'd have open doors? Have you been praying for somebody else in this room that person, this past week, you've been praying that person would have open doors to speak about Jesus and tell them why he or she has hope? Have you been praying? These are non-optional items, folks. So if you haven't been praying for somebody, pray right now. Write yourself a note. Pray for opportunities, for pastor, and, okay? I'm expecting a lot of prayers this week. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Well, in Acts chapter 1, you know, what do we say? What do we say to people about Christ? First point, it's in your notes. There's no need to speculate. There's no need to speculate. Speculate. Well, what's that? You know, if you had the opportunity to tell people about Christ, would you say, well, you know, what do you think about the apocalypse? When do you think that's going to be? I mean, the word apocalypse is now, it's used when there's a closure on the 405. You know, that's the apocalypse. Whoa, we got a lot to fear, right? Like Dean Ortner will say to me, he'll say, 100 years from now, who cares about that? Well, of course, they won't still be stuck in traffic, guaranteed. So if we're going to speculate on I think what we really need to do is speculate on what's going to happen to education in our country if whoever gets into public office. I wonder, you know, what's going to happen to the price of the dollar? That's a good place to start if you only get a minute to talk to somebody about things that matter for eternity. What's going to happen with the price of the dollar and how much gold do you have in your portfolio? Anybody want to share? Don't speculate. How did Jesus say don't speculate? Well, the disciples, when they heard Jesus talk about the Spirit, when they heard Jesus talk about the kingdom, and it's right here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. As Jesus talks about wait for the gift of the Spirit, and he tells them that in verse 3, he says, after this, he showed himself to his disciples. He had many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Did you hear what he was talking about? The kingdom of God. And he's talking about the coming of the Spirit. And they're putting things together from Ezekiel chapter 39, the coming of the Spirit. They'd heard about the coming of the Spirit, and that would take these people who were scattered all over the world, to the nations, in exile and beyond exile. And God would bring them all back, and the Spirit would be involved, and the kingdom would be established, and the walls would be up, and the temple would be up, and life would be good forever. We'd throw off all of our enemies. So the disciples said to Jesus, "Is it now? Is it now? And Jesus said, "Don't speculate. Don't speculate." Look at verse 6. "And so when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom?'" Yes! It was almost a rhetorical question. He's going to answer yes, right now. And Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." He takes these two words that describe, it's not for you to know the chronology, it's not for you to know the seasons, it's not for you to be able to discern, I think this is it. One of my friends, I was just sharing with someone else, one of our friends that we grew up with is very involved in a prophetic ministry sort of thing back in the Midwest, and really it reaches all around the country. And I just read her latest newsletter, and it says that many churches, it was really an indictment, many churches are not preaching end times. And she said that to me face to face, and I'm thinking, well, I said to my friend here in this church, I don't generally preach end times. And my friend said to me, "No kidding." Well, quite frankly, sorry, I'm just trying to do what Jesus said here. It's not for you to know. Well, we should be able to tell from what's going on all around us. We are in the end times. And I'll say, well, I know for a fact that we are closer to the end times than when I was in high school. Am I brilliant or what? But Jesus' point was, see, you keep wanting to talk about the kingdom right there. And I want to talk to you about how you can talk about the kingdom. Do you really want to talk about the kingdom? Do you want to talk about the kingdom? Anybody want to talk about the kingdom? Okay, if you want to talk about the kingdom, read verse 8. This is Jesus' response to talking about the kingdom. And I'm not, prophecy is a huge deal. It's bigger than all of us put together in every brain in the world can understand in terms of all the minute details. But it is a very, very serious thing when Jesus says, it's not for you to know. Verse 7. It's for the Father. These are the dates that the Father has set by his authority. But you will receive power. But you want to speculate? No, don't speculate. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power. Now, his disciples were good guys. They were good guys. They had been with him for a long, long time. And Jesus wants to make it very clear. You're going the wrong direction if you think that that's the insider role for God's people. I remember when I was, I think it must have been in college, when I first saw the Navigators material. And it was really, the Navigators were systematic in terms of their growth. They still are. It's a profound ministry, growing in Christ, what it means to grow in Christ. And they have, have you seen the Navigator wheel? The Navigator wheel was a wheel, there you go. And it had 4 points on the wheel, and then it had a hub at the center. Well, what was the hub in the center? Does any know? Anybody know? This is really easy. What would be at the center of the wheel? Who should be at, did somebody say prophecy? What's at the center of the wheel? It's a person. It's Jesus is at the center of the wheel. And then there were four spokes, and the four spokes were Bible study and prayer and obedience. And the fourth spoke was what? Witnessing. And I remember there was an indictment in the midst of all of this for anybody that wanted to be a good navigator or anybody that was doing this study. And the indictment was this. We somehow are content, most of us are content with being three-spoke Christians. We're happy to do Bible study. We're good with prayer. We're good with obedience. I mean, who would wants to argue against obedience? But witnessing? So, and the point in all this is navigators would work hard to help us become a little more confident and maybe more involved in witnessing. But Jesus tells them, if we are not to speculate, then where do we go from here? And his words to the disciples in verse 8 would be this: we already have what it takes. We have what it takes. To the disciples, he was saying, wait here until, and in 40 days, it would be 40 days at Pentecost, they would receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was a moment in time when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to reside in his followers, and it would begin with the disciples. The Holy Spirit would reside in them to do what? He would give them power to do what? It's right there in the verse. To be his witnesses. So if God has said, I've given you the Holy Spirit, he gave the Holy Spirit to his 12 disciples, but then he's given his Holy Spirit to everyone who's a believer. And we won't go into a long dialogue, but it's amazing that every single person who's ever come to Christ has been given the Holy Spirit to reside inside of him or her. We don't have to ask God to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us and to place us inside the body of Christ when we turn our hearts to him. And because that the Holy Spirit lives and resides in us, we have literally what it takes to be his witnesses. We have the confidence when we are walking in the Spirit. When we are walking in the Spirit, we have the confidence and the courage and the boldness. We have the insight into what's happening in that moment when we are walking with the Spirit. We don't have to be afraid that we will say too much or too little. We just simply have to have a life that is yielded to that one who already lives within us. We have the authority to speak for Christ. And we, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, resides in us, as we have a yielded life to him, when we speak to somebody about Jesus, there will be fruitfulness. And now, does that mean that everybody we speak to will suddenly turn to Christ? Will be baptized right there at that moment? No, but God will give the fruit in his time. Because what we're doing when we speak for him in the power of the Spirit is we are entrusting this person to God to work in his good time. One of your questions, it's either question or three or four in the back of your notes. It says that Campus Crusade for Christ, I know that one of their theme statements years ago, and possibly, probably still is that successful evangelism is simply sharing, sharing the truth of the gospel with people in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results to God. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses." The word witness is, it's the Greek word. Let me give you this word for witness, and you can write this down. Some of you may already know this by now, but it is the word martures. So just martures and a little line over the E. Martures. What does that word sound like? It could sound like mature, but give me a word that would describe somebody suffering. A martyr for Christ. You see, this word, Jesus said, "You'll be the people that speak for me. And when you speak for me, you're going to draw attention to me." And not everybody's going to like that. It was really interesting. I think John MacArthur wrote these words. So many Christians sealed their witness for Christ with their blood. So many sealed their witness for Christ with their blood that martyres came to mean martyr. So it was like a one-to-one. Speak for Christ and you may well be martyred. On the job, maybe, or in the public square. You'll be my witnesses. What's a witness do? A witness tells people what he or she has seen, what he or she has heard firsthand. A witness is not asked to speculate. So what do you think is going to happen at the end? What do you think? People would love to get us off track and speculate. Well, what about all those people who've never heard? Come on. Cut them some slack. Speculate. What do you think God's going to do with them? But a witness tells people, this is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. Old man John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the testimony. This is the witness. God has given us eternal life. Jesus said, "I've given you eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." I love people like to speculate. Think of what it was like in John chapter 9, when Jesus healed a man who was born blind. Just this amazing, this great account. The disciples asked Jesus, they saw a man that was born blind, and they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Who sinned? It must have been sin that caused this man to be born blind." And Jesus said, "Neither. It was that God might be glorified." They still weren't satisfied with that. They saw this guy walking around and they said, "You, aren't you the guy that was born blind?" "Yeah." I love this in the movie, the full-length feature film on the book of John from the Today's English Version. They zero in on this guy. He's walking along. He's looking at fruit that he's only felt before or tasted. And now he's looking at all this stuff and it all looks so amazing. He's touching it, smelling it, tasting it. And somebody said, "Aren't you the person that was born blind?" "Yeah, I am." "Where is the guy that healed you?" And he says, "I don't know." I just love that expression. It's worth the price of the movie. And somebody borrowed mine. I haven't seen it again, so I bought one this last week, another copy. If you have mine, please return it. But I just love that. I don't know where he is. And so they kept on turning up the heat, and they'd say, "What do you think this guy is? I mean, isn't he a blasphemous sinner? I don't know what he is. Well, how is it that this guy who was a sinner was able to do this to you?" And here's the testimony. It's a great testimony. No speculation. They tried to get him to speculate. He said, I can't speculate. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. And that's what a testimony is. You know, we encouraged every one of the people that joined last week to tell us, what was life like before you once you were blind? In what way were you blind? In what way did you discover you needed a Savior? And how did you come to Christ? And what did God do after you came to Christ? It's a simple little rhythm to what were you before and how did you come to Christ and now what? Are you ready with your testimony so that you're ready to share who Jesus is and how you came to know you needed him? Someone sent me a text this past week and said, wow, amazing. I had somebody come up to me this week and say, tell you what, can you tell me what you believe and why in a minute or two? Because I've got to go. But I'm trying to figure out what I believe. And at the end of this text message was, wow, it was just like you said it would happen. People will come. And one way or the other, they're going to ask you and me, why do you believe? And it might be code language. You know, the world's falling apart. What's going to happen if this person is elected president or this person? I don't know. But this I know. At the end of the day, he'll still be God. He will still be God. I shared with the elders the other day, we read for our little, just before we prayed, from the book of Ezra. And I was thinking, I'm just so impressed with the fact that God kept on saying to his people, one way or the other, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, rise and fall, I'm still God. And you can change administrations across time, I'm still going to be God. And like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, they're like a drop in the bucket to me. Like a drop in the bucket that was, drop. Where did that drop land now? Can't see where it landed. Yeah. But this I know, he's still God. Be ready. Stick with what you know. And be devoted to praying for those opportunities. And remain faithful. How long should we stay with this program? What did Jesus say? Continue. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Our assignment's very clear. Let's stick with it. To the ends of the earth. Father, thanks so much for the chance to open your word. We love you, Lord. We need you every single day. I pray you'd make us alert. May we be devoted to prayer, committed to prayer. And Lord, may we speak not about speculation. May we show an interest in people, but really stay focused on who Jesus is. And may your Holy Spirit, who gives us power and courage, may he also produce the fruit. Not for our glory, but for your work and your glory in the lives of people who have yet to come to know him. We pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.